Welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am the Dune in Dune Reads Goosebumps, and I am about to read Goosebumps. This is part two of Attack of the Mutant by R.L. Stein. Alright, I didn't keep up with my one a day for the entire year, obviously, but maybe once a week is enough. Alright, I'm back to my normal room of recording, but reading after out of the hardcover book. Anyway, where we left off, he was in the mutant monster man's secret lair, and then he was like, oh, this is where they make comic books. Oh, shit, I'm in the comic books. No! Chapter 15, drinking a Boddington's Pub Ale. It's very British of me. About to go eat some chicken wings and drink some beer at the San Diego Brewing Company. Chapter 15. I frantically shuffled through the big stack of drawings. You're just imagining it, Skipper, I told myself. The boy in the sketches only looks like you. It isn't really you, but it had to be me. In every drawing, the boy had my round, fat, ugly face, my dark hair, cut short on the sides and long on top. He was short like me, and just a little bit chubby. Well, let's face it, morbidly obese. And he had my crooked smile, up a little higher on one side. He wore my clothes, baggy jeans and long-sleeve pocket t-shirts. I stopped at a drawing halfway through the pile and stared hard at it, holding it close to my face. Oh, wow! I exclaimed. The boy in the drawing even had a chip on his front tooth, just like me! And just like old Dune, chipped his front tooth and the dentist fixed it. I was like, aw, Miller High Life in a bottle, I'll shove this in my face as hard as I can, and my tooth shattered into a confetti of sadness. It's impossible! I cried out loud, my voice tiny and shrill in the enormous room. Who had been drawing me and why? Why would a comic book artist want to make a sketch of me? And how did the artist know me so well? How did the artist know I have a tiny chip on my front tooth? A cold shiver ran down my back. I suddenly was very frightened. I stared at the drawings, my heart pounding. In one drawing, I looked really scared. I was running from something, my arms out stiffly in front of me. Another drawing was a close-up portrait of my face. My expression in the sketch was angry. No, more than angry, I looked furious. Another sketch showed me flexing my muscles. Hey, I look pretty cool, I thought. The artist had given me bulging superhero biceps. In another drawing, my eyes were closed. Was I asleep? Or was I dead? I was still staring at the drawing, shuffling from one to the next, studying each one, when I heard the footsteps. I realized I was no longer alone. Who's there? I cried, whirling around. I really hope the audio levels are okay. Chapter 16, are the audio levels okay? Where were you? Libby demanded angrily, running across the room toward me. I searched everywhere. Where were you? I shot back. Good one. I thought you were right behind me. I thought you were right ahead of me, she cried. I turned a corner and you were gone. She stopped in front of me, breathing hard, her face bright red. How could you leave me by myself in this creepy place? I didn't, I insisted. You left me. She shook her head, still gasping for breath. Well, let's get the fuck out of here, Skipper. I found some elevators that are working. She tugged my sleeve. I picked up the stack of drawings. Look, Libby. I held them up to her. You have to see these. Are you for serious? She cried. I want to get out of here. I don't want to look at comic book drawings now. But... I sputtered, waving the drawings. She turned and started toward the doorway. I told you I found some elevators. Are you coming or not? But these drawings are of me, I cried. Yeah, sure, she called back sarcastically. She stopped at the front of the big printing press and turned back at me. Why would anyone want to draw you, Skipper? I don't know, I stammered. But those drawings... You have a sick imagination, she said. You seem like a normal guy, but you're totally weird. Bye. Libby started jogging over the paper clutter on the floor to the door. No, wait, I called, dropping the drawings on the counter, slid off the tall stool and chased after her. Wait up, Libby. I followed her out into the hall. I didn't want to be left alone in this creepy place either. I had to get home and think about this. I had to puzzle it out. Does that mean like figure? It just says I had to puzzle it out. All right. My head was spinning. I felt totally confused. I followed her through the long tunnel of hallways. We turned a corner and I saw a row of elevators against the wall. Libby pushed the button on the wall and one of the elevators slid open silently. We both peered carefully inside before stepping on. It was empty. We were both panting. My head was throbbing. My side ached. Neither of us spoke a word. Libby pushed the button marked lobby. We heard a soft hum and felt the elevator start to move. When the door slid open, and we saw the pink and yellow walls of the lobby, Libby and I both cheered. We burst out of the elevator together and ran across the marble floor to the exit. Out on the sidewalk, I stopped, lowered my hands to my knees, and sucked in deep breaths of fresh air. When I glanced up, I saw Libby studying her watch. I've got to get home, she said. My mom is gonna have a cow! Do you believe me about the drawings? I asked breathlessly. No, she replied. Who would believe that? She waved and made her way across the street, heading for home. I could see a bus approaching, a few blocks down. Searching in my jeans pocket for a token, I turned to take one last look at the weird building. It had vanished again. I needed time to think about everything that had happened, but Wilson was waiting for me when I got home, and he followed me up to my room. I brought over some of my rubber stamps, he said. That sounded like Pee-wee Herman, raising a brown paper bag to my face. He turned it over and emptied it on my desk. I thought you might like to see some of the better ones. Wilson, I started, I really don't. This one has a ladybug, he said, holding up a small wooden stamp. It's very odd. It's the oldest one I own. Here, I'll show you. He opened a blue ink pad, stamped the ladybug on it, and pressed it on the top of the pad of paper I had on the desk. How old is it? I asked him. He replied. He held up another one. It's a cow, he said, as if I couldn't tell. He stamped on the pad. I have several cows, Wilson said, but I only brought one. I studied the cow, pretending to be interested. It's another really old one, Wilson said proudly. How old? I asked. He shrugged. Beats me! He reached for another stamp. Wilson, I just had a really weird thing happen, I told him, and I need to think about it. Alone. He narrowed his blue eyes at me, confused. What happened? It's kind of a long story, I said. I was in a building on the north side of town. I think it's where they make the collectible comics. Really? Here in River Falls? Wilson's face filled with surprise. And they let you in? There was no one there, I told him. It felt good to share the story with someone. So we went in, this girl I met on the bus, Libby, and me. We tried to go up the elevator, but it took us down. Then Libby got lost, and I found a stack of drawings of myself. Whoa! Wilson exclaimed, raising a hand for me to stop. I'm not following this too well, Skipper. I realized what I had said didn't make any sense at all. How could I explain it? I told Wilson I'd talk to him later, after I calmed down. I helped him gather up his rubber stamps. He brought about 20 of them. 20 of the best, he said. I walked him downstairs and said I'd call him after dinner. After he left, something caught my eye on the mail table. A brown envelope. My heart jumped. Was it? Yes, an envelope from the Collectible Comics Company, and the special issue of The Masked Mutant! I was so excited I nearly knocked the whole table over as I grabbed the envelope. Probably because he's fat, too. His chubby little fingers just hit things when he doesn't even try to. I tucked it under my arm without, aww, the cat is rubbing against my legs, without opening it up, and ran up the stairs, two at a time. I needed total privacy. I have to study this, I told myself. I closed the bathroom door behind me and dropped down onto the edge of the bed. I turned the bedroom door. That makes more sense than having a bed in the bathroom. Whoa, that would be crazy. My hands trembled as I ripped open the envelope and pulled out the comic book. The cover showed a close-up of the masked mutant. His eyes glared angrily out at the reader. "A new foe for the masked mutant," proclaimed the title. "Huh? A new foe?" I took a deep breath and held it. "Calm down, Skipper," I urged myself. "It's only a comic book." But would this new issue help solve the mystery for me? Would it tell me anything about the strange pink and green headquarters building? Would it help solve any of the puzzles from this afternoon? I turned to the first page. It showed the headquarters building from above. The next drawing showed the building at street level. In the deep shadows, someone was approaching the glass door. Someone was sneaking into the headquarters building. I turned the page and shrieked at the top of my lungs. Chapter 17. Yes, you probably guessed it. It was me sneaking into the masked mutant's headquarters building. I stared at the page so hard, my eyes were going to pop out of my head. I thought that. They weren't actually going to. It's an expression. You know, it's like in The Giver, where he's like, "I'm starving." And he's like, "You can't use the exaggeration." And he's like, "I'm the giver. I see red apples and stuff." I read that book once in, like, third grade. I have no idea what it's about. I shouldn't be, speaking for The Giver. I was so excited and so shocked I couldn't read the words. They became a gray blur. I turned the pages with shaking hands. I don't think I took a breath. I studied each picture, holding the comic book about an inch from my face. "The Galloping Gazelle," sat in a tiny room. The room grew hotter and hotter. In minutes, the Galloping Gazelle would become the Boiled Gazelle. Some folks will never eat boiled gazelle, and then again some folks will, like, Dune the Goosebumps reader. We'll fix that in post. The masked mutant had trapped the Galloping Gazelle in his headquarters, and now he planned to leave the gazelle there to boil. I turned the page. My hand shook so hard I nearly tore the page off. There I was, creeping through the dark hallway. In the comic, I wore the same t-shirt and baggy jeans I had on right now. It said Winger on the shirt. What's his shit from Beavis and Butthead? Fuck, I hate my life. The next drawing showed a close-up of my face. Big balls of sweat rolled down my pink face. I guess that meant I was a little scared. I'm a little too chubby in that drawing, I thought. But it was me. It was definitely my fat ass. "Mom!" I screamed, closing the comic and jumping off my bed. "Mom! Dad! You've got to see this!" I tore out of my room and hurtled down the stairs. I don't think my feet touched the floor. "Mom! Dad! Where are you?" I found them in the kitchen, preparing dinner. Dad was chopping onions by the sink. His eyes were filled with tears. Ah, that's what onions do. Mom was bent over the stove. As usual, she was having trouble getting the oven lit, or trying to kill herself. "I'm in this comic book," I cried, busting into the room. "Not now," they both replied in unison. "No, you've got to see this," I insisted, waving it in front of my dad. Dad didn't stop chopping. "You had a letter to the editor published?" he asked through his tears. "No, I'm in the comic," I told him breathlessly. I waved it closer to him. "I can't see a thing," Dad exclaimed. "Get that away from me. Can't you see what this onion is doing to my eyes?" "What are you doing, Scarlet? You trying to climb in the box full of cool balls koozies?" "There's a trick to chopping onions," Mom said, bent over the stove. "But I don't know what it is." I ran over to Mom. "You have to check this out, Mom. I'm in here. Look, it's really me." Mom shook her head, frowning. "I can't get into the light," she said, sighing. "I think the pilot is out again." "I'll check it if I ever stop crying," Dad told her. Oh, God, I would do a lot of things if I could ever stop crying. Like update Goosebumps regularly. "Will you look at this?" I screamed in italics, totally losing it. Mom gave a quick glance to the page I was holding in front of her. "Yes, yes, that does look like you, Skipper," she said, waving it away. She turned back to the oven. "We really need a new stove, dear." Dad, take a look! I pleaded. I ran back to him, but he had shoved a towel up to his face and was crying into the towel.
I hate my life. All I can do is record goosebumps and drink.
I guess you can't look now, huh? I said softly. He didn't answer. He just cried into the towel. I let out a long, exasperated moan. What was their problem, anyway? This was the most exciting thing that had ever happened to me, and they couldn't be bothered to take one look. Angrily, I closed the comic and stomped out of the room. Skipper, set the table, Mom shouted after me. Set the table? I'm starring in a famous comic book, and she's asking me to set the table? Why can't Mitzi do it? I asked. Set the table, Skipper, Mom repeated sternly. Okay, okay, in a few minutes, I called back. I dropped down onto the living room couch and turned to the back of the comic. I had been too excited to read it to the end. Now I wanted to read the part where it tells you what to expect in the next comic. My eyes swept over the page. There was the Galloping Gazelle, still trapped in the boiling hot room. And there stood the Masked Mutant, outside the door, about to declare his victory. I squinted at the white thought balloon over the Galloping Gazelle's head. What was he saying? Only the boy can save me now, the Galloping Gazelle was thinking. Only the boy can save the world from the Masked Mutant's evil. But where is he? I read it again. And again. Was it true? Was I the only one who could save the Galloping Gazelle? Did I really have to go back there?
Chapter 18.
After school the next day, I hurried to the bus stop. It was a clear, cold day. The ground beneath my sneakers was frozen hard. The sky above looked like a broad sheet of cold blue ice. Breaking Bad reference. Good one, RL. Leaning into the sharp wind, I wondered if Libby would be on the bus. I was dying to tell her about the comic book. I wanted to tell her what was going back to the strange building. Would she go back with me? No way, I decided. Libby had been frightened after our first visit. I could never drag her back there. I jogged past the playground, my eyes on the street, watching for a bus. Hey, Skipper! A familiar voice called. I turned to see Wilson running after me. Yes! Nailed the voice without knowing what was coming up. His coat unzipped and flapping up behind him like wings. Skipper! What up? You going home? Two blocks up, the blue and white bus turned the corner. Because he goes to a Jewish school, that's why his bus is blue and white. Now, I'm going someplace, I told Wilson. I can't look at your rubber stamp collection now. His expression turned serious.
I'm not collecting rubber stamps anymore, he said. I gave it up.
I couldn't hide my surprise.
Huh? How come? They took up too much of my time, he replied.
The bus pulled to the curb. The door opened. See you later, I told Wilson. As I stepped onto the bus, I remembered where I was going and suddenly wondered if I would see Wilson later. I wondered if I would ever see him again. You know, because he'd die. He's planning on going to his death. You know, his bus token says, I open at the close, and it has a horcrux in it. Libby wasn't on the bus. In a way, I was glad. It meant I wouldn't have to explain to her what I was doing. She would have laughed at me for believing what I read in a comic book. But the comic book had told the truth about the invisibility curtain! And now, it had said that I was the only one who could save the Galloping Gazelle and stop the Masked Mutant's evil.
But it's just a comic book, Libby would have said. How can you be such a jerk to believe a comic book?
That's what she would have said, and I don't know how I could have answered. So I was glad she wasn't on the bus. I climbed off the bus in front of the empty lot. I gazed at it from across the street. I knew it wasn't really an empty lot. I knew the pink and green building was there, hidden behind the invisibility curtain. As I crossed the street, I felt a wave of fear sweep down over me. My mouth suddenly got dry. I tried to swallow, but nearly choked. My throat felt as if someone had tied a knot in it. My stomach felt kind of fluttery, and my knees got sweaty and refused to bend. I stopped on the sidewalk and struggled to calm myself down.
It's just a comic book. Just a comic book,
That's what I told myself, repeating the words over and over and over and over. Finally, staring straight ahead at the empty lot, I worked up my courage enough to move forward. One step. Another. Another! Suddenly, the building popped into view. I gasped. Even though I had crossed through the invisibility curtain before, it was still amazing to see a building suddenly appear before my eyes. Swallowing hard, I pulled open one of the glass entrance doors and stepped into the bright pink and yellow lobby. Staying near the door, I turned to the left, then to the right. Still empty. Not a person in sight. Ah, we're rhyming, are we, RL? Staying near the door, I turned to the left, then turned to the right. Still empty, not a person in sight. I coughed. My cough sounded tiny in the huge lobby. Wait, this isn't a rap at all. It's just a children's book. No! My sneakers squeaked over the marble floor as I started to the elevators on the far wall. Where is everyone? I asked myself. It's the middle of the afternoon. How can I be the only one in this huge lobby? I stopped in front of the elevators. I raised my finger to the elevator button, but I didn't push it. I wish Libby had come along, I decided. If Libby were here, at least I'd have someone to be terrified with. I pushed the elevator button. Well, here goes. Really? Well, here goes. Have one, making you better feeling. What the fuck? Well, here goes. This isn't a PDF, this is the actual book. This book sold, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of copies? Forget it. I murmured, waiting for the door to open, and then someone laughed. A cold, evil laugh, right behind me. Nailed it. Chapter 19! I let out a low cry and spun around. No one there. The laughter repeated. Soft but cruel. My eyes darted around the lobby. I couldn't see anyone. Who's there? I choked out. The laughter stopped. I continued to search. My eyes went up to the wall above the elevator. A small black loudspeaker pointed out from the yellow wall. The laughter must have come from there, I decided. I stared up at it, as if I expected to see someone in there. Get out of here, a voice inside me begged. My sensible voice. Just turn around, Skipper, and run out of this building as fast as your rubbery, shaky legs will take you. Damn it, I wasted that voice that I thought I was using for a superhero, but it was just the voice in his head. Pretty creepy, huh, sis? I ignored it and pressed the elevator button. The elevator door on the left slid open silently, and I stepped inside. The door closed. I stared at the control panel. Should I push up or down? The last visit I had pushed up the top floor, and the elevator had taken Libby and me down to the basement. Wacky! My finger hesitated in front of the buttons. What would happen if this time I pushed down? I didn't get a chance to find out. The elevator started with a jolt, and I pushed any button, and I... The elevator started with a jolt before I pushed any button at all. I grabbed onto the railing. My hand was cold and wet. The elevator hummed as it rose. I'm going up, I realized. Up to where? The ride seemed to take forever. I watched the floor numbers whir by on top of the panel. 40. 42. 41. Just kidding, it says it in the correct order. But that was a hilarious joke I made involving numbers. Why is 6 afraid of 7? Because 7, 8, 9. The number's a cannibal. It eats numbers. That's that joke. The elevator beeped each time I passed a floor. It came to a stop at 46. Was this the top floor? The door slid open. I let go of the railing and stepped outside. I glanced down a gray hallway. I blinked. Wow. Wow. Literally on this book, it says, I blinked once, twice. But blinked, the ED, actually the KED, is crossed out, right? And then it says, I blink, and then someone wrote in 182. This was previously a library book that hasn't been checked out for quite some time. Looks like since the turn of the decade, or not decade, millennium. Anyway, someone actually took the time to cross out
blinked and write Blink 182, like, oh, I love me some Mark, Tom, and Travis. Unless this is so old, it's Mark, Tom, and Scott. That's some Blink 182 trivia for you. It looked as if I had stepped into a black and white movie. The walls were gray. The ceiling was gray. The floor was gray. The doors on both sides of the hall were...
they were gray.
It feels like I'm standing in a thick gray fog, I thought, peering one way, then another, or in a dark cloud. No one in sight, nothing moving. I listened hard, listened for voices, for laughter, for the click and hum of office machinery. Really, you're still thinking it's an office? That's cute. Silence, except for the thudding of my heart. I shoved my cold, clammy hands into the pocket of my jeans and began to walk, slowly following the hallway. I turned a corner and stared down another endless gray hallway. The end of the hall seemed to fade away, to fade into a gray blur. I suddenly remembered the drawings in the newest issue of The Masked Mutant. A big 2-page drawing, a splash page, had shown the long hallways of the Masked Mutant's headquarters. The long, twisting hallway in the comic looked just like this hallway, except that the comic book hallway had bright green walls and a yellow ceiling, and the rooms were filled with costumed supervillains who worked for the Masked Mutant. As I slowly made my way through this gray, empty hallway, I had a weird thought. Everything looked so gray and washed out. I had the feeling I was in a sketch of a hallway, a black and white pencil drawing that hadn't been filled in yet. But, of course, that didn't make any sense at all. You're just thinking crazy thoughts because you're so scared, I told myself. And then I heard a noise. A hard, thumping sound. A bump. Whoa! I whispered. My heart leaped up into my throat. I stopped in the middle of the hall and listened. Bump. Thump. Coming from up ahead, from around the next corner, I forced myself to walk. I turned the corner and gasped at the bright colors. The walls down this hallway were bright green. The ceiling was yellow. The thick carpet under my sneakers was a dark wine red. Why do you know about wine? It's a Dune's forte. Bump. Bump, thump, bump, bump, thump, bump, bump, thump. We will spook you. The colors were so bright, I had to shield my eyes with one hand. I squinted to the end of the hall. The green walls led to a closed yellow door. The door had a metal bolt against the front. Thump, thump. The sounds were coming from behind the bolted doorway. I made my way slowly down the hall to the doorway. I stopped outside the bolted door. Anyone in there? I tried to call into the room, but my voice came out in a choked whisper. I coughed and tried again. Anyone in there? No reply. Then another loud bumping sound, like wood thumping against wood. Anyone in there? I called, my voice a little stronger. The thumping sound stopped. Can you help me? A man's voice called from inside the room. I froze. Can you help me? The man pleaded. I hesitated for a second. Should I try and help him? I like to leave it like it's a give yourself goosebumps. Yes! I raised both hands to the metal bolt. I took a deep breath and shoved the bolt with all my strength. To my surprise, it slid easily. The door was unlocked. I turned the handle and pushed the door open. I stumbled off balance into the room and stared in amazement at the figure staring back at me. You're real! I cried.
Chapter 20. Extra syllables.
His cape was twisted and his mask had rolled down over one eye, but I knew I was staring at the galloping gazelle. You're really alive? I blurted out. Of course, he replied impatiently. Untie me, kid. He gazed toward the open door. You better hurry. I realized that his powerful arms and legs were tied to the chair. The thumping and bumping had been the sounds of his chair banging against the floor as he tried to escape. I can't believe that you're here, I cried. I was so amazed and so frightened. I didn't know what I was saying.
I'll give you an autograph later, he said, his eyes still on the doorway. Just hurry, okay? We've got to get out of here. I don't think we have much time.
Time? I stammered.
He'll be back. The galloping gazelle murmured. We want to get to him before he gets to us, right, kid? Us? I cried.
Just untie me. The galloping gazelle, instructed. I can handle him.
He shook his head.
I wish I could contact my buddies at the League. They're probably all searching the universe for me.
Still half dazed, I stumbled across the tiny room to the chair and began working at the ropes. The knots were big and tight and hard to untie. The coarse rope scraped my hands as I struggled to loosen them.
Hurry, kid. The galloping gazelle urged. Hey, how did you find the secret headquarters anyway?
I just found it, I said, tugging at the knots.
Don't be modest, kid, the superhero said in his flat, low voice. You used your secret cyber radar powers, right? Or did you use an ultra mind control to read my thoughts and hurry to my rescue?
Nah, I just took the bus, I replied. I didn't know how to answer him. Did he have me confused with someone else? Why was I here? What was going to happen to us? To me? Questions, questions! They flew through my mind as I frantically worked at the heavy ropes. I tried to ignore the pain from the cuts and scrapes to my... The cuts and scrapes to my hands. Okay, I got it. So they're currently cutting and scraping his hands. Got it. But it hurt a lot. Finally, one of the knots slid open. The galloping gazelle flexed his muscles and stretched out his powerful chest, and the ropes popped away easily.
Thanks, kid,
he boomed, jumping to his feet. He adjusted the mask so he could see through both eye holes. Then he swept his long cape behind him and straightened his tights.
Okay, let's go pay him a surprise visit, he said, pulling up the ends of his gloves.
He started toward the door, taking long, heavy strides. His boots thundered loudly as he walked.
Do you really want me to come too?
I asked, lingering behind the chair. He nodded.
I know what you're worried about, kid. You're worried that you won't be able to keep up with me because I have dino legs and I'm the fastest living mutant in the known universe.
Well, I hesitated like a little bitch.
Don't worry, he replied. I'll go slow.
He motioned impatiently. Let's get moving. I tripped over the tangle of ropes on the floor, grabbed the chair to catch my balance, then followed him out the green and yellow hallway. I turned and began running down the hall. As I started to follow, he became a blue and red blur of light and then vanished. A few seconds later, he came jogging back.
Sorry, too fast for you? He called.
I nodded. A little. He rested a gloved hand heavily on my shoulder. His gray eyes peered at me solemnly through the slits in his mask.
Do you have wall climbing abilities?
He demanded. I shook my head. No, sorry.
Okay, well, we'll take the stairs,
he said. He grabbed my hand and pulled me down the hall. He moved so fast, both of my feet were in the air. I guess it was impossible for him to go slow. The walls whirred past in a bright green blur. He pulled me around the corner and then around another corner. Oh, so many fucking corners! I felt as if I were flying. We were both moving so fast, I didn't have time to breathe. Around another corner, through an open doorway. The doorway led to a flight of steep, dark stairs. I peered up to the top, but I could see only heavy blackness. That was the Notorious B.I.G.'s original rap name. On the mic, it's Heavy Blackness. That's not really what his name was. It was Percy.
I expected the galloping gazelle to pull me up the stairs, but to my surprise, he stopped just past the doorway.
He narrowed his eyes at the stairs, looking like an Asian.
There is a disintegrator ray right there, he announced, rubbing his square jaw thoughtfully.
A what? I cried.
A disintegrator ray, he repeated, his eyes locked on the stairs. If you step into it, it will disintegrate you in 1/100th of a second.
I swallowed hard. My entire body started to tremble.
Do you think you can jump the first two steps?
The galloping
gazelle asked.
You mean?
I started. Land on the third step, he instructed. Get a good running start.
I'll need it,
I thought, staring at the steep steps. I suddenly wished I hadn't eaten so many Pop-Tarts and bowls of Frosted Flakes for breakfast every morning.
Oh, no, type 2 diabetes!
If only I were a little slimmer, a little lighter, then I could finally lose my virginity. Yes, woo, intercourse!
Get a good running start and make sure you clear the first two steps. The galloping gazelle warned. Land on the third step and keep moving. If you land on the first or second step, you'll disintegrate,
he motioned with his finger.
Poof!
I let out a low, frightened moan. I couldn't help myself. I wanted to be brave, but my body wasn't cooperating. It was shaking and quaking as if I were made of jello.
I'll go first, the superhero said.
He turned to the stairs, bent his knees, stretched both hands forward, and leaped over the invisible disintegrator ray. He landed on the fifth step. He turned around and motioned for me to follow.
See? It's easy, he said brightly.
Easy for you, I thought darkly. Some of us don't have dino legs.
Hurry, he urged. If you stop to think about it, you won't be able to do it.
That's horrible advice.
I'm already thinking about it, I thought. How could I not think about it?
Excellent use of italics, RL.
I'm not very athletic, I murmured in a tiny, trembling voice.
What an understatement. Whenever the kids I know play any sports, I am always the last kid chosen for a team.
Hurry, the galloping gazelle, urged.
He reached out both hands.
Take a good running jump, kid. Aim for the third step. It isn't that high. I'll catch you.
God damn, doing that voice makes me feel like I have to vomit. All right, I just dropped the microphone because I was moving the trash can because I seriously thought I might vomit from doing that voice. So I'm going to stop doing that because I killed my throat.
Being the galloping gazelle.
Oh, why am I doing this again? The third step looked about a mile in the air to me, but I held my breath, bent my knees, took a running leap, and I landed with a hard thud on the first step. Wow. That's called Darwinism. Darwinism, when the least fit person gets near a disintegrator ray, and they can't jump their fat ass over two steps, and then they die and they can't reproduce. It's a shame. I read about it in a Dawkins book.
Chapter 21.
I screamed and clamped my eyes shut as the disintegrator ray poured through me and my body crumbled into thin air. Actually, I didn't feel anything. I opened my eyes to find myself still standing on the bottom step, still in one chubby piece. And that's really what it says. I stammered. I guess he doesn't have it turned on, the galloping gazelle said calmly. He smiled at me through the mask. You caught a break, kid. I was still trembling. Cold beads of sweat rolled down my forehead. I couldn't speak. Hope your luck holds out, the galloping gazelle muttered in his new, boring voice. He turned and started up the stairs, his cape floating behind him. Come on, let's go meet our destiny. I didn't like the sound of that, not one bit, but I didn't like anything that was going on. The galloping gazelle had said that I was lucky, but I certainly didn't feel lucky as I followed him up the dark stairs. At the top of the landing, let's fix this microphone. There we go. At the top of the landing, he pushed open a wide metal door, and we stepped into an amazing room. The room glowed with color. It was decorated like an office, the fanciest, most luxurious office I had ever seen. The shaggy white carpet was soft and so thick I sank in it, nearly to my ankles. Silky blue curtains were draped over enormous windows that overlooked the town. Sparkly crystal chandeliers hung from the ceiling. Velvety couches and chairs were ranged around dark wood tables. One wall was covered with floor-to-ceiling bookshelves, each shelf filled with leather-covered books. A giant TV screen, dark, stood in one corner. Beside it, a wall of electronic equipment. Enormous oil paintings of green farm fields covered one wall. A shiny, gold-plated desk stood in the middle of the room. Wow, gold-plated desk? That's tacky. If you have money and you do that, you're a horrible person.
The tall desk chair behind it looked more like a throne than a chair. Whoa! I cried, lingering near the door, my eyes taking in the splendor of the vast room.
He treats himself nice, the galloping gazelle commented, but his time is over.
You mean... I stammered. I'm too fast for him, the superhero boasted. I'll run circles around him, faster and faster, until I become a raging tornado. He'll be swept away forever. Wow, I repeated. I didn't know what else to say. He caught me napping before, the galloping gazelle continued. That's the only way he can catch me when I'm asleep. Otherwise, I'm much too fast for him. Too fast for anybody. Know how fast I run the 100? How fast? I asked. I run it in 1/10. 1/10 of a second! That would be an Olympic record! But they don't let me in the Olympics because I'm a mutant!
Racism. God.
I started to follow the galloping gazelle to the center of the room, but I stopped when I heard the laughter. The same cold laughter I heard in the lobby. I froze in fright. I stared as the gold desk began to move and change. The shiny gold shimmered as if it shifted, and as it shifted and shimmered, but...
The shiny gold shimmered as it shifted and bent, raising itself up and forming a human figure.
You just gotta sing when you're feeling kinda down and you're reading some goosebumps. Sing the text. Yeah, don't do drugs. I took a step back, trying to hide behind the galloping gazelle. The desk melted away, and the masked mutant rose up in its place. His dark eyes burned menacingly through the slits in his mask. He was a lot taller than he appeared in the comic, and a lot more powerful looking. And a lot scarier. That's a new paragraph. And a lot scarier. He raised a fist at the galloping gazelle. You dare to invade... Oh yeah, I forgot to do this. Maybe I can go high with him and that way it won't kill my throat. You dare to invade my private office, he demanded. Say goodbye to all this ill-gotten splendor, the galloping gazelle told the mutant. I'll say goodbye to you, the masked mutant shot back, spitting the words angrily. Then he turned his frightening cold eyes on me. I'll handle you easily, gazelle, the world's most evil supervillain said softly. But first, watch me destroy this kid.
All right, that is going to have to stop for both of our sakes.
Chapter 22!
I shrank back as the masked mutant took a step toward me, his fist still raised, his black eyes glaring furiously into mine, my heart pounding. I turned and frantically searched for a hiding place. But there was nowhere to hide, and I couldn't make a run for it. The door slammed shut as the masked mutant moved closer. Whoa! I cried. I raised both hands in front of my face, as if shielding myself. I couldn't bear to see his cold, cruel eyes staring at me as he approached. He's going to destroy me, I thought. But I don't have to watch. And then, as the masked mutant took one more step, the galloping gazelle moved to block his way.
You'll deal with me, mutant, he declared in his booming voice. If you want the kid, you'll have to take me out first.
No problemo, the masked mutant declared in Spanish.
Softly, but his expression changed as the galloping gazelle began to circle him faster and faster until the gazelle appeared to disappear into a swirling, whirling tornado of blue and red. The gazelle is carrying out his plan. I realized as I backed up to the wall, he's going to run faster and faster around the masked mutant until he creates a whirlwind that will blow the evil mutant away. Pressing my back against the wall, I watched the amazing battle eagerly. The galloping gazelle whirled faster. Faster, so fucking fast, a powerful wind swept over the room, slapping the curtains, toppling over a vase of flowers, sending books flying from the shelves. Yes, I thought happily, shooting both fists in the air. Yes, we win! We win! This is only page 93, Skipper. He probably didn't win yet. It's probably gonna be another twist. I lowered my hands and let out a horrifying groan when I saw the masked mutant casually stick his foot out. The galloping gazelle tripped over the foot and slammed face down into the floor with a shattering thud. He bounced hard a couple times and then lay still. The wind stopped. The curtains fell back into place. The masked mutant stood over the fallen superhero, hands triumphantly on the waist of his costume. Get up! I screamed without even realizing what I was doing. Get up, gazelle, please! The gazelle groaned, but didn't move.
Dinner time, sneered.
Dinner time?
Sneered the masked mutant. My back pressed hard against the wall. I stared in horror as the masked mutant began to change again. His face twisted and appeared to flatten. His body lowered and he leaned forward, spreading his hands on the floor. He stepped forward as a snarling leopard, tilting its head to one side. The leopard uttered a ferocious growl of attack. Then it arched its back, tensed its back legs, and leaped on the sprawled body of the galloping gazelle. Get up, gazelle! I shrieked as the leopard attacked. The masked mutant clawed and gnawed at the helpless gazelle. Get up! Get up! Why won't you get up? Yeah. Is there like a bootleg podcast Emmys or like Oscars? Because I think I deserve one for that performance. No? No, there's no award for bootleg audiobooks that you give out for free? All right. To my shock, the galloping gazelle opened his eyes. The ferocious leopard ripped away the bottom of the gazelle's mask with his teeth. The galloping gazelle rolled out from under the enormous beast and scrambled to his feet. With a roar, the leopard swiped with its paws, sending a long tear down the length of the gazelle's cape. I'm out of here, the gazelle cried, making tracks to the door. He turned back at me. You're on your own, kid. Wow. What a coward. No, wait! I screamed. I don't think the gazelle heard me. He shoved open the door with one shoulder and vanished. The door slammed behind him. Quickly, the leopard changed. Rising up on its hind legs, its body shifted and shifting and moving until the masked mutant stepped forward. He smiled at me as he approached, a cold, menacing smile.
You're on your own, kid.
He said softly.
How many more pages of this stupid shit do I have to deal with before I can go eat some motherfucking chicken wings?
I already did this in the last one, didn't I, where I couldn't actually find the page numbers. Let's just keep going. Trudge forward. As I always say, you gotta cock that wagon in flow. Oh no, Dune died of dysentery. Chapter 23. I edged along the wall as the masked mutant moved slowly, steadily toward me. I knew I couldn't get to the door as the galloping gazelle had. I wasn't fast enough. He should have called himself the Galloping Chicken. Nailed it, I thought bitterly. How could he save his own skin and leave me here like this? I couldn't run, I couldn't fight. What could I do? What could I do against a deadly foe who turned himself into anything solid? The masked mutant stopped in the center of the room, hands on his waist, his dark eyes twinkling. Do villains often have twinkling eyes? He was enjoying my fright and already tasting his victory.
What are your powers, kid?
He demanded, a sneer in his voice.
Huh?
His question caught me by surprise.
What are your powers?
He repeated impatiently, swirling his cape behind him.
Do you shrink down into a tiny bug? Is that your secret?
Huh? Shrink? Me? If I could shrink, would I be this fucking fat and disgusting? I was shaking so hard, I couldn't think straight. Why was he asking me these questions?
Do you burst into flames?
He continued, moving closer.
Is that your power? Are you magnetic? Are you a mind fogger?
His voice turned angry.
What is it, kid? Answer me. What is your power?
I don't have any powers, I stammered. If I pressed any harder into the wall, I'd become part of the wallpaper. Well, that's a power, isn't it, Skipper? The masked mutant laughed.
So you won't tell me, huh? Okay, have it your way.
His smile faded, his dark eyes turned cold and hard.
I was just trying to make it easy on you, he said, moving even closer. I want to destroy you in the easiest way possible.
Oh, I see, I muttered. My eye caught something on the shelf, a large, smooth stone as big as a coconut. It was some kind of decoration. I wondered if it would make a good weapon.
Say, my kin.
He said, clenched through teeth. He came toward me quickly, and as he moved, I grabbed the big stone off the shelf. It was a lot heavier than I thought. It wasn't a stone, I realized. It was shaped like a smooth stone, but it was made of solid steel. I hoisted it up, took
careful aim, and then heaved it at the masked mutant's head. And missed. The stone thudded heavily onto the carpet.
Nice try!
He muttered, and moved quickly to destroy me.
Chapter 24.
I tried to duck away from him, but he was too quick. His powerful hands grabbed me around the waist and lifted me off the floor.
Tiny dancer!
Higher, higher! I realized he was moving his molecules, making his arms stretch until he had lifted me above the chandelier. I thrashed my arms and legs and tried to squirm away, but he was too strong. Higher, higher, until my head banged hard against the ceiling, at least 20 feet above the floor.
Happy landings!
The masked mutant cried gleefully as he prepared to drop me and send me plummeting to my doom. But before he could drop me, I heard the door swing open. The masked mutant heard it too, holding me suspended in the air. He turned to see who had entered.
I'd be an excellent supervillain. Once I hit about, like, 35 or 40, when I'm, like, a legitimate adult, I'm just gonna talk in a wacky voice all the time, and no one will question me. That's how it works, right? It's all just Tommy Bahama, rum-based drinks, and wacky voices!
High above the floor, I squirmed around and bent my head to see through the chandelier. The light sparkled through the crystals, making it impossible to see.
How dare you burst in here?
The masked mutant cried to the intruder. He lowered me a little, just enough for me to see the doorway. Libby, I cried, what are you doing here?
Well, Libby's back. Maybe she knew more initially than she let on. But
chapter 25. The masked mutant lowered me to the floor and turned to face Libby. Why wouldn't he just drop him instead of lowering him? It doesn't make any sense. He's trying to kill him anyway. My legs were wobbling so badly I had to grab onto the bookshelf to hold myself up. Libby, get out of here! Get away! I tried to warn her, but she stormed into the room, her red hair flying behind her. She had her eyes on me and completely ignored the masked mutant. Doesn't she know that he is the most evil supervillain in the known universe? Skipper, didn't you hear me calling you? Libby demanded sharply. Huh? Libby? I was across the street, she said. I saw you going into the building. I called you. I didn't hear you, I stammered. Listen, you better get out of here, Libby. I've been searching and searching for you, she continued, ignoring my warning, ignoring my frantic gestures. What are you doing in here, Skipper?
I really can't talk right now,
I replied, pointing to the masked mutant. He stood impatiently, hands on his waist, tapping his boot on the carpet.
I see that I will have to destroy you both, he said quietly. I see that I will have to destroy you both,
he said quietly. Libby spun around. She seemed to notice the supervillain for the first time. Skipper and I are leaving now, she said with a sneer. I gasped. Didn't she know who she was talking to? No, of course she didn't know. She's a girl. She reads those high school Harrys and Beanhead comics. She had no idea how much danger we are in. I realized, we are. Any, like, lack of a contraction screws up the reading process.
I'm sorry,
the masked mutant replied, sneering back at Libby from under his mask.
You are not leaving. In fact, you are never leaving this building again.
Libby glared back at him, and I saw her expression change. Her green eyes grew wide and her mouth dropped open. I took a step back until she stood beside me. We have to do something, she whispered. Do something? What could we do against the monstrous mega mutant? I swallowed hard. I couldn't think of how to answer her. The masked mutant tossed back his cape and took a step toward us.
Which one of you wants to go first?
He demanded softly.
He didn't really demand softly in my version.
I got creative license. I turned and saw that Libby had backed up to the bookshelves. She pulled a yellow plastic toy gun from her backpack. Libby, what are you doing? I whispered. That's just a toy. I know, she whispered back. But this is a comic book, right? It can't be real. So if it's comic book, we can do anything. She raised the plastic toy pistol and aimed it at the masked mutant. He let out a cold laugh.
What do you plan to do with that toy? He asked scornfully. It only looks like a toy, Libby stammered. It's a molecule melter. Leave this room or I'll melt all your molecules.
The mutant's smile grew wider.
Nice try,
he said, flashing two rows of perfect white teeth.
Apparently the masked mutant's father was an orthodontist.
Libby held the toy gun in front of her with both hands. She gritted her teeth, preparing to pull the trigger.
Put down that toy. It can't help you,
the masked mutant declared, moving closer. I'm not fucking kidding, Libby insisted in a shrill voice. It isn't toy. It's really a molecule melter. The masked mutant laughed again and took another step closer. Then another step. Libby aimed the gun at the masked mutant's chest. She pulled the trigger. A high-pitched whistle burst out of the gun. Woo-woo! The masked mutant took another step closer than another.
Chapter 26.
Libby lowered the plastic gun. We both stared in horror as the masked mutant came nearer. He took one more step, then stopped. A bright white light circled his body. The light became a crackling electrical current. The mutant uttered a low moan. Then he began to melt. His head melted down into his mask, tinier and tinier until it disappeared completely. The empty mask slumped onto the shoulders of his costume. And then the rest of the body melted away, shrinking until there was nothing left but a wrinkled costume and cape heaped on the carpet. Libby and I stood staring down at the costume in silence. It worked, I managed to choke out. The toy gun, it worked, Libby. Of course, she replied with surprising calm. She walked over to the empty costume and kicked it with her sneaker. Of course it worked. I warned him it was a molecule melter. He wouldn't listen. My brain was doing flip-flops.
I don't even have a comment. I just want to say that his brain was, in fact, doing flip-flops.
I didn't understand. It was just a toy pistol. Why did it destroy the mightiest mutant on Earth?
Let's get out of here, I pleaded, starting toward the door.
Libby moved to block my path.
I'm sorry, Skipper, she said softly.
Sorry? What do you mean? She raised the plastic pistol and aimed it at me.
I'm sorry, she said, because you're disappearing next.
Chapter 27.
Why are these chapters so short?
27. At first, I thought Libby was joking. Libby, put down the gun, I told her. You have a sick sense of humor.
She kept the plastic gun aimed at my chest.
Right. My man boobs, or boy boobs, or moobs. I let out a feeble laugh. Tee-hee-hee. But I quickly cut it short when I saw the hard expression on her face.
Libby, what is your problem? I demanded.
I'm not Libby, she replied. I hate to break the news to you, Skipper, but there is no Libby.
As she said those words, she began to change. Her red hair slid into her head. Her cheeks grew whiter, her nose lengthened. Her eyes changed from green to black. She stretched up, growing taller, muscles bulging on her skinny arms. And as she grew, her clothing changed too. Her jeans and t-shirt appeared to melt away, replaced by a familiar-looking costume. The costume of the masked mutant.
Libby, what is going on? I cried in a tiny, frightened voice. I still didn't understand. How are you doing that?
She shook her head. You don't catch on very fast.
You don't catch on very fast, do you?
She said, rolling her eyes. Her voice came out deep and booming. A man's voice. Or in the voice the Dune keeps using for the masked mutant.
Libby,
She swiped her cape behind her.
I'm the masked mutant, Skipper. I changed my molecules into a girl your age and called myself Libby, and I touched my little bubbling boobies. But I'm the masked mutant.
But, I sputtered. She tossed the toy gun aside and grinned at me triumphantly.
But you just melted the masked mutant. We both saw him melt.
She shook her head.
No, you were mistaken. I just melted the magnificent molecule man.
I gaped at her in astonishment.
Huh? Molecule man? He worked for me, she explained, glancing down at the crumpled, empty costume on the floor. Sometimes I ordered him to dress like me to keep people off my track.
He worked for you and you melted him? I cried, I'm a villain! The masked mutant replied, smiling. I do very bad things, remember? It all started to come clear. There never was a Libby. It had been the masked mutant all along. The masked mutant stepped over the crumpled costume to move closer to me. Once again, I pressed my back against the wall.
Now I have no choice. Now I have to do something very bad to you, Skipper, he said flatly, his black eyes staring hard into mine through his mask.
But why? I cried. Why can't I just leave? I'll just go straight home. I'll never tell anyone about you. Really? I pleaded.
He shook his head. I can't let you leave. You belong here now.
Huh? I gasped.
What are you saying, Libby? I mean, mutant?
Good stuff.
You belong here, Skipper, he replied coldly. I knew it when I saw you on the bus for the first time. I knew you were perfect when you told me you knew everything about comics.
But, I sputtered again.
It's so hard to find good characters for my stories, Skipper. It's hard to find good foes. I'm always looking for new faces. That's why I was so pleased when I discovered you.
His evil grin grew wider.
Then, when you recognized my headquarters building, I knew you were right. I knew you were ready to star in a story.
The smile faded quickly.
I'm so sorry, Skipper, but this story is over. Your part has come to an end.
What are you going to do? I stammered.
Destroy you, of course, the mutant replied coldly.
I pressed my back against the wall. I stared back at him, thinking hard.
Goodbye, Skipper,
the masked mutant said softly.
But you can't do this, I screamed. You're just a character in a comic book, but I'm real. I'm a real live person. I'm a real boy.
A strange smile formed on the mutant's lips.
No, you're not, Skipper, he said, snickering. You're not real. You're just like me now. You're a comic book character, too.
Chapter 28. These next two are really short.
I pinched my arm. It felt as warm and real as always. You're a liar, I shouted. The masked mutant nodded. A pleased smile formed on his face.
Yes, I am a liar, he agreed. That's one of my better qualities.
Goddamn, this is giving me a headache. His smile faded. But I'm not lying this time, Skipper. You're not real anymore. I refuse to believe him. I feel the way I always have, I declared. But I changed into a comic book character, or I changed you into one. I've always been one, because I'm the masked mutant, he insisted. Remember when you entered this building for the first time? Remember when you walked through the glass door and the beam of light passed over you? I nodded. Yeah, I remember that, I muttered.
Well, that was a scanner, the masked mutant continued. When you stepped through it, it scanned your body and turned you into tiny dots of ink.
No, I shouted. He ignored my cry.
That's all you are now, Skipper. Tiny dots of red, blue, and yellow ink. You're a comic book character, just like me.
He slid toward me menacingly, his cape spreading out behind him.
But I'm sorry to say you've made your last appearance in my comic book, or any comic book.
Wait. I cried.
I can't wait any longer, the masked mutant replied coldly. Seventh Heaven comes on in 15 minutes! I've already wasted too much time on you, Skipper!
But I'm not Skipper, I declared. I'm not Skipper Matthews, I said. There is no Skipper Matthews!
Oh, really? He asked, rolling his eyes. Then who are you?
I'm the Colossal Elastic Boy, I replied.
Herp derp 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 derp. This is almost done. Then I'm gonna go eat chicken wings and drink beer and stuff and have lots of fun with my friends. Chapter 29.
The masked mutant uttered a low gasp.
Elastic Boy, he exclaimed. I thought you looked familiar.
Goodbye, mutant, I said in a deep voice.
Where are you going?
He asked sharply.
Back to my home planet of Zargos, I replied, starting toward the door. I'm not allowed to guest star in other comic books.
He moved quickly to block the door.
Nice try, Elastic Boy, he said. But you have invaded my secret headquarters. I have to destroy you.
I laughed. You can't destroy Elastic Boy, I boasted. I'll stretch out my elastic arms and wrap you in them and squeeze you into Play-Doh. It's weird there's no registered symbol thing there.
I don't think so,
the masked mutant replied dryly. He let out an angry growl.
I'm tired of all this talk, talk, talk. I'm going to tear you to pieces and then tear your pieces into pieces and then not tear those into pieces because I lack the dexterity.
I laughed again. No way, I told him. I'm elastic, remember? I can't be torn into pieces. I bend, but I don't break. And there's one way that Elastic Boy can be destroyed.
What's that?
The masked mutant asked. By sulfuric acid, I replied. That's the only thing that can destroy my elastic body. A pleased smile spread behind the masked face.
Oops, I cried. I didn't mean to let that slip out.
I tried to make it to the door, but I wasn't fast enough. I saw the masked mutant quickly begin to change. He changed into a steaming bowl, a steaming hot wave of sulfuric acid. And before I could move, the tall wave of acid swept toward me.
The final chapter.
Chapter 30. With a loud cry, I leaped away. The tall wave swept past. It missed me by inches. I turned and watched as it splashed over the carpet. The carpet began to sizzle and burn. Yes, I shouted gleefully. Yes! I had never felt so happy, so strong, so triumphant, most triumphant. I had defeated the masked mutant. I had totally tricked him. I had destroyed the most evil supervillain ever to walk the planet. Me, a 12-year-old boy named Skipper Matthews. I had sent the masked mutant to his doom. Such a simple trick, but it had worked. From reading the comics, I knew that the masked mutant could change his molecules into anything solid and then change back again. But I tricked him into changing himself into a liquid. And once he changed into a liquid, he could not reform himself. The masked mutant was gone forever. Really? This is the ending? Skipper, you are a clever guy, I shouted out loud. I was so happy. I did a little dance on the carpet. Check me out, I'm dancing. I couldn't believe the masked mutant had believed that I was Elastic Boy. I'd made that name up. I'd never even heard of Elastic Boy, but he fell for it. And now, the evil super mutant is gone, I thought happily, and I'm alive! Alive! I couldn't wait to get home and see my family again. The bus ride seemed to take hours. Finally, I was running up my front lawn into the house through the front door. I immediately saw a brown envelope lying on the mail table. The new issue of The Masked Mutant. How much is this fucking comic subscription that it comes every single goddamn day? Who needs it? I asked myself. I ignored it and hurried to say hi to my parents. I was so glad to be home. I was even happy to see Mitzi. Mitzi, how about a game of Frisbee? I asked. How come every single time it's like, and I hate my sibling? And then they get home after the horrible experience and like, and I even liked my sibling! That reminds me, I gotta text my brother.
Huh?
She gaped at me in shock. I never want to play anything with my little sister, but today, I just wanted to be happy and celebrate being alive. Mitzi and I hurried out to the backyard, and we threw a frisbee around for about half an hour. We had a great time. How about a snack? I asked her.
Yeah, I'm starving, she replied.
Mom left some chocolate cake on the counter.
Chocolate cake sounded just right.
That's because you're fat, dude. Don't eat chocolate cake. Have some fucking celery. I say this as I'm about to go eat some chicken wings. Humming happily to myself, I trotted into the kitchen. I pulled down two plates from the cabinet. Then I found the big cake knife in the drawer.
Don't make your slice bigger than mine,
Mitzi warned, watching me carefully as I prepared to cut the cake. Mitzi, I promise I won't cheat you, I said sweetly. I was in such a good mood. Even Mitzi couldn't get me upset. This looks like awesome chocolate cake, I exclaimed. I slid the big knife over the cake. It slipped. Ow! I cried out as the knife blade cut the back of my hand. I raised my hand and stared down at the cut.
Hey!
I uttered in surprise. What was trickling out from the cut? Not blood, it was red. Blue, yellow, and black. Ink. Cool, Mitzi cried. Where's that new issue of the Masked Mutant comic? I asked. I suddenly had a feeling that my comic book career wasn't over. The end of Attack of the Mutant on Dune Reads Goosebumps. This one has a preview at the end for My Hairiest Adventure. Every day is a hairy adventure when you're Italian. Let's see, No, it's just another preview for that. And there's no about the author. Bob Stein's a pretty cool guy. He lives with his family. I think he lives in New York. He likes having fun. He tweets a lot of wacky news stories. All right, that's about the author by Dune, age 25. Oh god, I'm too old for this. People my age have kids and shit. Yeah, damn it. Anyway, I'm about to go eat some motherfucking chicken wings and drink some motherfucking giant beers and have a good time. So, until the next time, I don't even know what I'm reading next. I think I'm going to try to keep up with the actual books, so I got a couple dozen here to choose from, but until I do that, there's one thing that you can do. Alright, everyone all at once, like a chorus. Stay spooky, bitches!